I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining in every day. Still praying prayers I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's favor land. A higher place than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fear dismay. Though sun may dwell where these are bound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's favor land. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan God set me a hurl. A faith that's called a joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I'm found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Morning, church. We have a real treat for you this morning. Brother William's going to preach. I'm going to do some announcements, and we're going to talk a second, and then y'all will get right with it with Brother William this morning. Skillman Avenue is coming after a while. They're bringing a real nice lunch downstairs, and they also are going to have some shoe boxes or purses or some kind of thing that's got stuff in it, and stuff for mainly for poor and down and out people. And so anybody that needs that stuff, y'all be sure to come get it. We'll probably have it in the lobby. We might be somewhere else. We'll let you know, but be sure to check on the lobby on your way home. There's going to be people here with stuff for every week for the next few weeks. Christmas is the 24th. Y'all know that we don't do a lot of Christmas stuff here. It's hard to do in radio like we do. If I preach one Sunday, it's broadcast the next Sunday here locally, then it's broadcast to the world the next Sunday. So I would have to do three Christmas sermons to get it all out there to where the world would hear Christmas on Christmas. So y'all will hear Acts 20 next week, 21 the next week, 22 the next week. We're going to stay right with Acts. But we might do something at Sunday school or Sunday night on the 24th. We might have either Christmas singing, or we might have the story in the Gospels of the birth and life of Christ. Let's remember in prayer the congregations that are helping us. We have some radio contracts that are coming due that we're under pressure about. We need to remember Lois Horn. She had surgery this week for a heart valve replacement. Maggie Pope is sick this morning. Brother Art Bigger is sick this morning. Martha Woods is healing at home. Brother Frederick Kurtzey had a stroke, and he's in rehab over here at Live Oak in Ross. We want to continue to remember Pam and Michael Squires and Carol Nile at the death of their Carol's son, Larry Nine. CB and Kara Spencer ask our prayers. Jack Van Hooser is healing from cancer, and we pray that his radiation and so forth works well. Betty Patterson has shingles. Brother Jerry Atkins had a stroke. Ernie McKnight has kidney failure. Lisa Shepherd has kidney failure. And we want to pray for Sister Clara Benedict in Nashville and Brother Stein. There's a real problem going on there. And, of course, there's problems in a lot of your lives. And y'all just lift up your hearts in prayer to God. And let's go to the Father in prayer, please. Almighty God, King of the universe, Eternal Father, we thank you so very, very much for all that you do for us. You have given us a bounty and a blessing of so much, and we praise you and thank your holy name. Thank you for sending William here, and we pray that he'll be the future of this church. We pray that those congregations that are looking at supporting him will make the right decisions in accordance with your will. We pray that his support will be provided, his housing will be provided. We pray for our radio contracts and all those things that are in your hands. Please bless us as we go forward to feed the poor and preach the gospel to the whole wide world. Forgive our sins, we pray, in Christ's name, amen. I'm mainly up here this morning to put in another pitch for William. Those of you out there that hear us on the internet this week, if any of you can, we're trying to raise support for William. We're paying him $250 a week, which it really isn't fair. There's no preacher in the brotherhood makes $250 a week. And so it's a great sacrifice, and he's put up with that for 6 months now. And so we hope that support will be forthcoming. And we have some irons in the fire there. And so y'all be praying about that, please. Without any further ado, we want William to come bring our message. God bless you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Kelly, for that introduction. And good morning, church. One little thing before I got up here, Brother Kelly said, because this message is not going to the radio, I have all the time that I want. So anyway, I'm just... Just kidding. I'll try to have mercy on everyone. This morning I'd like to preach from Luke chapter 11, verses 29 through 32. And this scripture has been termed the sign of Jonah. That's the title of this message. So if you would, please turn to Luke chapter 11, verse 29. And I'll read through verse 32. Beginning in verse 29. When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and will condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. And let's go to God in prayer before we begin this morning. Father, I just thank you for this highest privilege and honor it is to be speaking and to be preaching your word. I just pray your richest blessing over this congregation. Lord, just have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and help us to be a light to the world. I just pray, dear Lord, that you would open our hearts, soften our hearts, convict us, and help us to understand and to obey and to put the truth that we learned this morning into practice. And we just ask your blessing that you would be pleased with us. And it's through Christ we pray. Amen. Our text this morning, in its immediate context, is speaking to the Jews during the life and times of Jesus in his days on this earth. And it is a warning as well as a call for thanksgiving and reflection for the great privilege and honor it is to possess the Word of God and to have heard Christ himself. And in a broader sense, it must apply to anyone who has had the grace of God given them in that they have received the Word of God. They have received the light of His Word. This privilege of possessing the truth of God's words cannot be expressed in words. It is priceless. For by it we have knowledge of salvation and eternal life and knowledge of God Himself. All other treasures are regarded as nothing in comparison to the surpassing riches of God's Word. It has rightly been said by one of the framers of this nation that the Bible is a book worth more than all other books ever printed. And if you were to imagine all the treasures of this world, and you were to put them on one side of the scale, the sum total of their worth would be far outweighed if we were to put the Word of God on the other side. Those people who have received the oracles of God, who have received the Word, this highest of treasures, are to be considered most blessed and privileged among mankind. It would be comparable to a world in which everyone was blind, yet a few people were given the special opportunity to see. Or imagine with me a world in which there was no food at all, and a few people were given precious nutrients, were given food to sustain life. Or imagine a world that lay in complete darkness, and yet a few people were given light. Or a world where there was no medicine, and some people were given the antidote, were given medicine, were given the cure to the world's sickness. Consider, therefore, the importance of God's revelation of Himself to the Jews. God, in His supreme wisdom and grace, chose from among Himself, from among the nations, a nation and a people called by His own name, to which He would entrust the knowledge of God. And speaking to this fact, and speaking to the advantage that the Jews had, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3, verse 2, tells us that the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. We also read in Romans chapter 9, verse 4, speaking of their unique blessings. It says, they are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. And they were to be a people of the book. They were to be a people of the Word. And Deuteronomy 6, chapter 4, tells us how they were to handle this great blessing. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." However, with the knowledge of God comes a responsibility to be faithful, to be a faithful steward of the great blessings that they had received in God's Word. And Jesus further explains this concept in Luke chapter 12, 47 through 48, by saying, "And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand much." Did you hear that? Did you get what Jesus was saying? Let me read it one more time. "Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more." And this is the focus of our study this morning. Jesus further illustrates this in our text this morning by giving us two examples from the Old Testament. One being the Queen of Sheba, or the Queen of the South, and the second being the men of Nineveh. Let us now go to verse 29 of Luke 11. It says, "When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, 'This generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah.'" And notice here, Jesus is not afraid to highlight, to expose the depravity and the wickedness of man, for his agenda is truth and pleasing God rather than man. Jesus was most definitely not afraid to anger men, and he did so repeatedly. And it's been said before that the Greek orator, he sought to appeal to the intellect, to the mind, and to reason, whereas the Roman sought to appeal to passion and to emotion. However, the Hebrew prophet went further than both, for he appealed to the conscience, and he spoke directly to the heart of man. And his words had conviction because they were inspired. Certainly, Christ, the prophet of prophets, spoke with words of divine authority, which were, as we read in Hebrews 4:12, living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul, spirit, joints, and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And of this evil generation, Jesus charges them with seeking a sign. And you might ask, what's wrong with seeking a sign? What's so wrong with that? And I believe the answer here is twofold. The first thing I'd like us to consider is that the Jews had likely already witnessed countless signs themselves and heard the report about all the wonderful and miraculous miracles that Jesus had done. And Acts 2:22 speaks to this. It says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know." The text makes it pretty clear here that they already knew about all of these signs, and they're simply asking Jesus for sign upon sign upon sign, and then we will believe. Secondly, I'd like us to consider that the Jews should have been able to identify the Christ based on the numerous references in their own Old Testament. Jesus also addresses this problem quite well in John chapter 5, verses 45 through 47. Let me read this for us. John chapter 5, I'm going to begin in verse 39. It says, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I came in my Father's name, and you did not receive me. If anyone comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" And these Jews, they keep complaining to Jesus that they have not received enough revealed revelation. They have not received enough light. Yet Jesus is going to give two examples from people who received the word with far less knowledge in order to shame them for their disbelief and their mishandling of God's word. The absurdity of the Jews seeking a sign is brought out in both examples. For both the Queen of Sheba and the men of Nineveh delighted in the truth that they were given. Yet the Jews, who were comparatively given so much more, disbelieved Moses, that is to say, the Old Testament, the law, and even rejected the Son of God himself, who was standing right before them. It would be like the richest people in the world complaining about their need for more and more money, completely ignoring all the many blessings that they have. and ignoring the fact that there are countless people all around the world that comparatively have so much less and would do anything simply to have the food that was necessary to provide for their most basic needs. The Jews' request likewise is outrageous and appalling and completely out of place. Their problem was not a lack of knowledge, but rather a failure to appreciate the spiritual riches that they had, as well as to believe and obey. They did not need more light, but simply needed to believe the scriptures that they had heard from childhood, and to believe the Lord's Messiah who was in their midst. Yet God, in His grace and in His mercy, had reserved one last great sign that He was going to give to the Jews. Let us now look in verse 30. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. In Matthew's parallel account in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, he gives us a little bit more information. We read in verse 40, "For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." It is evident that the sign here spoken of is the gospel, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. This is God's foremost message and sign to the Jews in that generation, as well as every other generation, nation, tribe, and language. And the historical fact of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection from the dead is the reality that mankind must come to terms with. And Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, it was predicted beforehand in the Holy Scriptures, particularly in Isaiah 58. And the actual event itself took place in the fullness of time in the religious capital of the world as a public sign to the entire world. And it was recorded by eyewitnesses, and their testimony has been faithfully passed on through the writings of the New Testament. And in fact, we this morning are witnesses of the resurrection, for Christ lives in our hearts. It is the message of messages to both the rich and to the poor, to both slaves and to the free, to the wise and to fools, to peasants and to kings. And depending upon how we respond to this good news will determine our eternal destiny. Let us now look at these two examples that Christ gives us. Luke chapter 11, verse 31, we see our first example of the Queen of Sheba. We read verse 31. "The Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here." Notice that she came from the ends of the earth just to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Surely she was hungering and thirsting for righteousness, seeking for wisdom as one would seek for silver, as one seeks for precious treasure, and after finding, rejoices and delights over it. And we read the Bible's account in 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 4 through 5. It tells us, "And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food at his table, the seating of his officials, and the attendants of his servants, their clothing, his cupbearers, and his burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord, there was no more breath in her." Yet Solomon was just a dim shadow, a mere reflection of the King of Kings who was to come. How much more should the Jews have been captivated by the surpassing glory of Christ, this greatest of wisdom and wealth that cannot be described? And if Jesus does not take your breath away, if he does not take my breath away, I plead with you to seek the face of Christ in the Holy Scriptures. And if you are noble and you have a seeking heart, just like the Queen of Sheba, the promise is that you will find, and you will find treasure unspeakable in God. Now let us move on and look at this second example that Jesus gives us in verse 32. "Now the men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here." This example and comparison is most extreme and humbling for the men of Nineveh, who were Gentiles, ignorant in the things of God, received the prophet Jonah and his one-sentence sermon, which is recorded in the book of Jonah. Yet they are faithful and reverent towards the few words of revelation that they are given, and they repent in dust and ashes. Yet the Jews, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth, refuse to believe the Son of God himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And they refuse to accept the one greater than Jonah. Also, let us consider the setting of both of these stories. They both take place at the judgment. Our Lord is turning our attention and trying to get us to focus on that great day when God will judge the secrets of man by Jesus Christ. If we could only get a grasp of that great day, if we could get an image of the judgment, it surely would help us in our daily lives. Quite frankly, Jesus is saying that at the judgment, we will be held accountable. We will have to answer for the amount of truth, the amount of grace that we have received, and how we handled it. And for instance, you take the example of a farmer or a businessman. And in the same way, God is going to want a return on his investment. It would be wise, after reviewing this great teaching from our Lord, to ask this simple question: where do we fit on the spectrum Are we of those who have received little light, little revelation? Are we of those who have received much? What is God going to expect from us at the judgment is a question worth asking. I would like to submit to you that this nation is not rich because we have the largest GDP in the world, or that you can walk into our grocery stores and you can buy the finest of food, whatever you would like to satisfy your desires. I would like to submit to you that this nation is rich because of the abundance of truth which God has entrusted us in His Word. And we can debate all day long whether or not this is a Christian nation, what even constitutes a Christian nation. Is that even possible for a Christian nation to exist? But I can tell you this confidently, that at the judgment, we will be held accountable for the great truth and the light that we have been given. And I want us to consider here that there are around the world some 8,000 people groups that still do not have a Bible in the common language of their people. And I want us also to consider the road which brought us the English Bible, which is long, and it is lined with countless examples of martyrs and holy men who risk everything in order that we might have God's inspired Word. And I'd like us to reflect on the fact that the Bible was trapped in Latin for some thousand years, and during which time the priests themselves could barely even read the Word. During this time, people did not have access to the Word of God themselves. However, at the beginning of the 16th century, in London, England, a man by the name of John Colet began to preach from a translation of the Bible in the common language of the people. And some 20,000 hungry souls packed into St. Paul's Church, London's foremost cathedral, and still another 20,000 plus gathered outside, trying their best to get into the church in order to hear the Word of God in their mother tongue. And at the judgment, what do you think those 20,000 people that could not get in to hear the Word of God, what do you think they are going to say to us? Or what about the countless peoples throughout the ages who were given comparatively little light? The text begs us to reflect upon our riches and to appreciate the full counsel of God's Word, which is easily accessible to each one of us and is in the grasp of many of our hands, sitting on our laps this morning. Let us then, in response, not despise or neglect the Word of God or be unbelieving. Let us not neglect such a great salvation. Let us not treat sacred things as though they were common. Let us not be like those in Romans who did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. Let us not be like these Jews who were given so much and were just asking for more riches and were not thankful for what they had been given. But let us be a people of the book. Let us delight in the Scriptures. Let us rejoice in the treasures that we have been given. Let us obey it and let us be faithful to it. Let us be like the psalmist here in chapter 1, of which it is said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And what a blessing will follow those children of God who obey his word, who walk with his word, as the hymn says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what glory he sheds on our way. And let us also believe this sign of Jonah. Let us also believe this gospel message that Jesus died for our sins. He died in our place. He was punished for our rebellion, and that he was buried. And on the third day, he rose again. Let us also obey this gospel. We too are called to participate in this sign of Jonah through baptism, experiencing a like death, burial, and resurrection. And let us obey the Scripture's command that we read in Acts 2:38, to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received the word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000. And I'd like us to focus here in closing on this second to last verse. Verse 40, here in the middle of the verse, it says, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. We too live in a corrupt generation. We too live in an adulterous and sinful generation where people are unbelieving, where more than not, they would disbelieve this sign of Jonah and this gospel. But let us be of those who believe and trust. If you are not a Christian this morning, we would like to invite you to come forward and to put on Christ in baptism. If you need the prayers of the church, this is the time for which you can come forward as we stand and sing our closing invitational song.
Come to Jesus, he will live, for his sin has ransomed you. If he is your heart, he will be just, he will make it white as snow. Come to Jesus.
Glory, and you build.
Happy to announce that we have four individuals who have come forward this morning. They've been studying and they would like to get baptized this morning. So we would like to take their confession before the body of Christ. So I would ask Lee, if you would stand up for us. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe the gospel? All right, based on your confession, we will baptize you here in a minute. And Christina, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Alrighty. And Kendrick, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Amen. And Tony, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? All right. Amen.
All right. Okay. What you'll do is go to the left-hand side, and you'll go in that room right there, and then he'll help you to prepare. Okay. It'll be the left-hand side is going to be for the men, and then the right-hand side will be for the women. Okay. Yeah.
Make sure we need to have an answer.
Okay, may the church say amen. Amen. This is what it's all about, going throughout the world, preaching and teaching the gospel. There's so many things that have happened, and we've got, it's a cycle of things. You have influence in people's lives, and then they have influence in other people's lives. And next thing you know, you have friends being baptized, brothers being baptized, and mothers, grandmothers, who knows, right? And so it's always a blessing. We know that the angels and the saints in heaven are rejoicing whenever another soul, you know, is entered into the kingdom. And so the kingdom, the church, add it to the church. So Lee and Christine are going to be obeying the gospel this morning. Antonio is going to be obeying the gospel, young man, and Kendrick. So it does my heart good. I've known Kendrick ever since he's a little baby. His mother and myself, we go back a long ways, and that's her big older son over there and his friends. And so it's just been a family affair, tell me, coming to Christ. And so I'm real happy about that. So let us keep them in our prayers. Nikki Crawford wants us to keep her family and kids in prayer, and she's asking for blessings upon everyone this week and for this month as well. And Angela Wade is asking for prayers for her sons, Kedrick. Is that Keith? What's that for that K word here? Kersey? Oh, the Mary Kay. Okay, so you want her business? And also Joyce and Frederick as well. We'll pray for them. And Frederick is recovering really well, right? Okay, so he's doing his rehab, and prayers have been answered. We just keep praying for their family. I have a card here where I couldn't really make out the word. I don't know if that's Tanya or Faye McCormick. Huh? It is Tanya? Okay. And you're asking for prayers that your husband, when he goes for his court hearing, that everything will be in his favor. So we want to pray for that. Pray for Tanya McCormick and her husband that everything will go well. Derek and Erica North are here with us. Are you visiting with us? Eric and Derek? Okay, so hopefully they are visiting with us today, and we're happy. Maggie Pope is not here, and her daughter Diane, that usually is in the back. Maggie's been suffering from respiratory infection, so let us continue to pray for her. A lot of stuff been going around. I was sick the whole Thanksgiving week with that stuff, and so I know what's really going around. Ricky Thomas is basically, Ricky's with us, and he just wanted in general to thank the church for all the things that we do. I've done a lot for him, helping him out in different ways, and there he is. There's Rick. And also, he wants to continue to follow God on a daily basis. So all the things, we want him to stay on that straight path as well. Ken Scoggins is going to be going in for legal battle, court battle, identity theft, with a Capital One that doesn't want to have any mercy in regards to that. So he definitely needs our prayers that he will be victorious in that court hearing, that it will turn out in his favor. Christy Collins is asking for prayers for girls and to get in touch with her, and confessing of sins and asking God's forgiveness and the prayers of the church. All right, I know we're still waiting for the baptism. We can go ahead and do our prayer, and by that time, hopefully they'll be ready for the baptism. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity as your children to be able to boldly approach your throne. And as we do so, we honor you, dear Father, and we bow before you, knowing that you are a powerful, omnipotent God, and that you know all the things that we stand in need of. So before we ask, you already know, but you do require that we ask. So we do come before your throne asking for prayers for those who are sick, that you will touch them, heal them, and bring them back to a normal state of health. For those who are dying, dear Father, that you will help them and be with them as only you can. If it be your will to turn it around, dear Father, and to heal them and bring them back from the edge of death, as we know you can. And we pray for those who are caregivers and helping those who are sick as well. Give them the strength to continue on. It's a very hard job. We pray, dear Father, for those who are suffering spiritually, who are needing help and battling different addictions, and whatever the sin is, dear Father, we pray that you will forgive all of those who have requested forgiveness of their sin. Forgive them of those sins and help them to overcome those sins when they approach with them again. We pray for those who are about to obey your gospel, dear Father, and become new babes in Christ, that they'll continue to walk that straight and narrow path till the end, that you will not allow anything to snatch them there further from your hands, as we know you says that no one can snatch us from your hands and your arms. So we just pray that you will bless them with all the fruit of the Spirit, all the things they need to stay on that straight and narrow path. For those who are incarcerated in our jails and prisons, dear Father, be with them. Help them to lean toward you. We pray for those who are serving in active duty in the military, and we pray that you will protect them. Be with our veterans as well, dear Father, and protect them. We pray for the elderly, our seniors, dear Father, and we pray for our young and helpless, that you will be with them. Bless those who are homeless and those who are struggling financially, and you know all the things that we need, dear Father, and we pray that you will supply those needs and help us to continue to be the Christians you would have us to be. We ask that you forgive us of our sins. Build us up in those areas where we are weak and we've been torn down, and help us to strive to be more like Christ Jesus every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins, that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Kendrick, based on your confession, baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins, in order that you might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
But the blood.
All right, so Tony, based on your confession, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins in order that you might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
The Skillman Avenue Brethren have outside, they have some tables set up. They have some gifts out there and stuff for y'all, underwear and socks and things of that nature. So y'all be sure and go by and get that. This young man's after my job. I think he's really serious about it. I'm really happy because in him is no guile at all. I want y'all all to know that I, for the first time in my life, I've beaten y'all to the oatmeal raisin cookies, and I've got one. I've got my first oatmeal raisin cookie, so y'all are, you're out of luck today.